And then the last one I'm going to talk about is kind of it's one of my pet projects. I was supposed to introduce this before I showed it. But anyway, this is one of my sort of sci-fi visions of the future. I grew up reading a lot of sci-fi and things like, you know, time travel and jetpacks and, you know, video conferences like on Star Trek and that sort of thing. And a lot of those things have actually come to pass. I don't think time travel has, but, you know, who knows. And so I think, I like to have my own little sci-fi visions of what future technology might be like. And one of the things that I think we should have in the future are what I call ecocasts, or ecosystem forecasts. And so just like you go and turn on the TV or the internet and get your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, or next week, we have the technology where we could actually be getting ecosystem forecasts to go with that, whether it's mosquitoes or you know, deer on the highway. You can think of all kinds of aspects of the ecosystem that it would be really useful to be able to now cast and forecast. The example I've shown here is a project I worked on a few years ago. You might want someone a little less scary looking delivering the forecast. This was just like something I cobbled together in Photoshop. But the project was forecasting right whales. And the reason, you might not know, right whales, the northern right whale, there's only about 400 left in the world. They all come to the Gulf of Maine to feed. And there are major sources, that's actually starting to change now that they're moving up to the Gulf of St. Lawrence with warmer waters. But historically, they've come to the Gulf of Maine to feed. And the major sources of mortality are things like ship strikes and gear entanglements. And so we thought if you can forecast where those whales are going to be, you can help reduce those sources of mortality, and it would be kind of a conservation tool. And the reason that we can make those forecasts is because we can see the ocean microbiome from outer space. And I'll connect those dots. I thought someone had their hand up. So here's the Gulf of Maine. You can see Cape Cod curled up over there in Nova Scotia. And the green that you see is a phytoplankton bloom. Those are single-celled organisms. They're green because they're plants. And we can see them from outer space. And we have satellites circling the Earth all the time, making daily and hourly measurements of essentially how green the water is. They're collecting different wavelengths of light, and you can figure out actually a lot more about not just how green it is, but some information about what species are there and that sort of thing. But you can measure, basically you can measure chlorophyll from outer space. You take that information, and so chlorophyll feeds crustaceans, which feed right whales. And so you can take all that information and put it into a mathematical model. This is where my math geek comes out again. And graphically, it might look something like this. So here's Cape Cod Bay. Those are supposed to be arrows moving back and forth here. Those are the tides. So that tells you where water is flowing. Each time it goes in and out is one tide. That image is just kind of a representation of the chlorophyll that you just saw in a less pretty version. And then these are the ones on the left are different species of crustaceans that right whales eat. And what you're watching is kind of a winter into a spring bloom unfold. And the different species sort of bloom at different times of year. We can use that information sort of historically, as well as information on where whales have been sighted in the past, to put together whale forecasts. And this is what our whale forecasts would look like. We would have these colored areas where we thought whales were going to be, and then they would fly surveys, and the dots are where, you know, after the fact, where the whales turn up. So it actually worked out quite well, and, you know, it was really amazing proof of concept that you could do ecosystem forecasting like this in the ocean on, like, a daily and weekly time scale. One of the things I've been doing lately is trying to tap into social media as a source of data. So I mentioned that jellyfish sighting project. This is an image showing all tweets as the sun rises across the Americas. And you can imagine if you were a troglodyte living underground and had no idea that the Earth was turning, but you could tap into the internet somehow, you could figure out something about this geological scale process, this sort of geoscale process, just based on, you know, the yellow dots, the information and the internet. And the reason I'm showing you this is because there's just a slew of information out there. There are people that are out there observing the environment, and so now I'm going to jump to some of the jellyfish data. In Maine and around the world, And it's not just jellyfish. This is just one of many, many examples. And we actually have a really strong tradition of citizen science in Maine, which is an amazing thing to tap into as well. Of people observing their environment. And so now with this forecasting, I'm trying to figure out ways of tying this sort of data into the satellite images we're collecting to try to produce forecasts of all kinds of different species. And I think that would be a really useful adaptation tool as well. As things are changing, we can see it almost instantaneously, and we can forecast to some degree where things are going. And that information is key to being able to adapt. And the other thing that it does is, it connects. It's another way of connecting people back to the environment. It forces people to be looking and observing, and then knowing that information is going into something that, again, something that they can see and see how their data is changing. I think it's a neat way to help people connect with the natural world. That's the last kind of... Oh, and this is just one of my jellyfish forecasts for this year. Anyway, it's low this year, by the way. We've only gotten a few sightings, and our forecast is low. Normally, like, yellow is the color we were seeing last year. It's not... We don't even see any of the coast yellow this year. But if you do see jellyfish, let me know. And hopefully we'll get our forecast right. So that was the last adaptation tool. There are lots of other ones, and maybe your questions will prompt me to talk about some of them. But anyway, thank you for coming. I hope you enjoyed it.